It truly is my privilege and honor to be here, and thank you for the invitation. Tau Maria, you have a special pastor's pair right here, and I want to honor them for what God has done in and through them, and therefore also in this community over the years. It's wonderful. I remember we visited about 3 years ago, I think, when you were still in the other building at the municipality. I have to say, I think you have gone ahead and forward in your building. It's quite good. This struck me as we were doing the praise and worship, your values. And I reflected as we came in today, I mean, nobody really knew us, or many people didn't know us. But immediately we felt accepted. And that is a sign immediately right there of a community that is living the vision that God has placed upon you. There's a call on you as a community, and that's it. And we could see that. We could experience that the moment we stepped into this place. It's wonderful. So I want to encourage you to stay that course, to keep doing it. Galatians 6:9, stay the course. If you do not become weary, you will reap a harvest. And that's exactly it. We did not feel forgiven because we haven't yet done anything that maybe after the sermon you'll have to forgive us. We'll see how that goes. But we definitely felt loved as well. I mean, the thing that made me felt most loved, I have to say, was the cup of coffee that I was offered. And it was an amazing cup of coffee. Something about it. And then those three figures at the bottom. I mean, think about it, God in Trinity as God in community. We know that community is God's idea. God is relational, right at the outset, right in his being. He cannot help it. He's relationally knit together in a way that we cannot fully grasp. So when I see those three figures, I think God, Trinity, that is manifested as a community right here. This is a relational community. I had a chat with Tau beforehand as well, and he said exactly that. He said, we try to be relational here. And we felt it. We felt it right from the outset. So once again, allow me to encourage you, stay that course. Those are the things that are important to God. Above all of them is probably underscoring all of it is that thing of relationality, because God in his being wants to journey with and is relational. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is in an intimate relationship that we struggle to fully understand, but every time we glimpse or taste some of it, it is a phenomenal thing, that kind of relationship. So that's what God wants. Then I also have to, before we get into this proper, I have to say a word of greeting from Tabor as well. So Tabor, as I said, is a Christian ministry organization, and in that sense wants to journey with other Christian ministry organizations so that we can mutually strengthen one another. So me being here today is with Tabor strengthening you in whatever way, shape, or form we can, but also receiving from you exactly some of those things that I've just talked about. That blesses me. That strengthens me and us as a family. So thank you for that. Now, let me start. Is the PowerPoint on? There it is. Let me put this on. There it is. That's the topic for today, leading with a different attitude. As we go into this, let me start by telling you a little bit of what is God doing at Tabor. Over the last 2 years, I'll start here. Oh, there it is. Is this working? Yeah, there is it. Okay, it's working, I think. Okay. It's not exactly the same. Let's see, what is God doing at Tabor? I'll start in 2019. I visited China. It was the last subject in an MBA that I was busy with at the time. And we had a two-week study tour in China at the end of September 2019. 1 month later, as the research says now, COVID broke out in Wuhan. We now know it from tests that they've done on the water and so on, that it was actually at the end of October that it happened. So that was the first miracle in the last number of years. I was not stuck in China until today, and it could easily have happened. There was something that I experienced in China that was quite special. But anyway, so came back after that visit. The COVID season started beginning of 2020, and it was quite interesting how that whole thing happened for Tabor, a small Christian higher education provider. We have roughly about 800 students. That gives you an idea. And we came, we heard these rumors of this thing happening, COVID epidemic and all of that. And then we started praying at Tabor. And then one specific morning, as I was praying, I heard God said, prepare, it is coming. Quite clear. This is now in January, somewhere in January of 2020. That very same day, later in that morning, our digital learning and innovation director, the top person in our IT department that's dealing with our online learning systems and all of that, she came to me. She said, look, I prayed this morning, same thing, and God said to me that COVID is coming to us as well. At that time, there was no talk about it coming to Adelaide. Everybody thinking, oh, it's not going to come. It's just one of those small things. And God said, it's coming to us and we need to prepare. She said, so can I have your permission, please, to start preparing all our systems so that when it comes, we are ready to go online in a heartbeat. It was the same morning. So it was a confirmation. And I said, thank you, Lord, you are preparing us. We cannot yet see it even on the horizon, but we trust. And we started preparing. And then in the 4 weeks following, we prepared all our staff to deal with all classes on Zoom. It was a four-week period that we had. We managed to train up all of them. And then COVID struck and the lockdowns came and we had to go online totally. And Tabor transitioned within a day. It took us 1 day. Universities took up to 6 months to transition. How the heck? And I looked at this and I go, wow. Lord, wow. Cannot believe it. Unbelievable. Few weeks later, roughly halfway into the first semester of 2020, one morning, three potential students phoned me and said, look, we're in lockdown now. We're sitting at home. We're doing nothing but twiddling our thumbs, you know, and praying copious amounts and all of that. Is it possible for us to study something at Tabor? I said, well, it's the middle of the semester, basically. You know, there's nothing that we have that starts in the middle of the semester. But that very same day, I got together our senior executive and a few people that could help with this. And I said, look, three times this morning, and I believe God is speaking to us, we need to do something for these students. And so we engaged with the Department of Education. And we said, look, we know you never do. It's never been done in the past, but we have this crazy idea. Can we maybe consider a student full-time if they do only half the subjects, but in only half the semester? In other words, they start in the middle of the semester, they only take two subjects, not four, and you still give them fee help as you would normally do when they are full-time students, because otherwise they cannot study. I said, well, we know it's never been done, but can you maybe consider this and get back to us? We expected them to take a week or two. 2 days later, they said, yeah, it's okay, go for it. We just about fell on our back because the department is notoriously reticent, is perhaps the word, when it comes to these matters. 4 weeks later, they rolled it out across the country, and it became something that all universities could then do at that time. By then, we've already implemented it. We called it Semester 1.5, and 42 students joined Tabor out of that. Students, many of them would have come in the second semester they wanted to, but this was their opportunity to start early. And we became a safe harbor for those students at that time. And once again, it was God's thing. It was God doing it. Then we started journeying with God through this COVID thing, and man, COVID was heavy and still is. COVID disruption is now recognized as an ongoing problem. The undertone of that is now called, the real problem is called chronic uncertainty. So the human system wants at least a degree of certainty so that we can feel safe and plan and move in a normal way. COVID has broken down all certainty. The people who are doing well during COVID are the people who have a certainty in God. If not for that, everything else is unsure during COVID. So chronic uncertainty. We started journeying through COVID and we started discovering our students and some of our staff is going through this thing called COVID fatigue. Now, it's a very real physical thing sometimes, but it's also a mental thing sometimes. Physically, I mean, when you have COVID, people go, okay, I have to isolate for 10 days, then I'm over it. It's only 3 days of fevers and chills in most cases. So after that, I should be okay, no? We now know from research that it takes 3 to 6 months for healthy lungs to fully recover after COVID. If you have asthma conditions, it takes 6 months to a year. It's not as simple. I've always been an athlete. I've always done sport. I've done professional cycling earlier in my life. And I know my body very well. So I go to F45 training, about 3 weeks after COVID, and I just about die. And I don't have it. I cannot breathe. I feel as if I just cannot breathe. So VO2 max is smashed. It takes, in my case, it took 10 weeks. And I came off being very fit. It still took me 10 weeks before my lungs recovered. My lungs, by the grace of God, I've never even had a cough in my life. Never. And it still took me 10 weeks. So we started discovering this thing of COVID fatigue. It's a physical thing. People come back to work, but they just don't have energy. It's not there. And then we discovered that, wow, wait a minute, the longer this thing drags on, we now move into something called COVID depletion. People are depleted because of all this uncertainty, and physically and mentally, they become depleted. And man, it leads to something that we call burnout. And we are a society now moving into burnout. In many places in our society, you will already see that it's there. Once again, the only counter to this is people who tap into God's strength, who is sustained by God. That's the only counter to what we are currently experiencing in COVID. The semester 1.5 Tabor becomes a safe harbor for some of our students. We've had many, many students who said, man, if not for Tabor, I would have no community. I do this class online in 2020 called Meaningful Living. So first time we're doing a Zoom class, man, it's heavy going because, I mean, we're still all learning how to break down classes in Zoom. You just cannot focus as long in Zoom as you can focus face-to-face. We made that mistake only once. You know, then we learned we're killing our students in the process. We shouldn't do that. So we learned how to do that well. But during that first class, come to the end of day one, this is now after about 7 hours of Zoom classes, and I say to everybody, okay, I'll stay in the room a little bit longer, 5 minutes longer. If anybody has a question, that's your opportunity. Anybody else, everybody else can go. See you tomorrow for the second day of the intensive. And so I officially close with a prayer, and then nobody leaves. So I go, oh, this is interesting. So many questions. Wow, must have been a good lecture. But it wasn't that. I then said, okay, whoever has a question, go for it. Anybody, it doesn't matter. Nobody. Nothing. No question. And I said, not everybody together, which is usually how I break the ice, where nobody wants to ask a question. And still nobody. And so I go, you guys, you know, does nobody have a question? Why are you guys here then? And they said, no, we just want to spend a little bit more time together. And I realized in that moment, that was in 2020, first half of 2020. I realized in that moment, people have already become community poor. They're missing relationship. They're missing connection. It's crucial to our well-being. And just that, even after 6 months, people were already hurting because they needed it so much during isolation. In many cases, that's still going on. So that's what we journeyed to. That was Tabor's journey. So then it continues. It was a season eventually last year it was a season of acknowledging COVID VUCA. What is VUCA? It's a term out of the military world. It means volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. Volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. So we now talk about COVID factors, COVID results as VUCA. I mean, COVID has brought a lot of volatility. You never know what tomorrow is going to bring. Uncertainty, I mean, do I have to say anything about that? Complexity, ooh, how do we figure out these new rules about COVID and tomorrow they've changed again? Well, that's complex. Ambiguity. Yes, these guys in government says that, but these guys actually say that, and these two things don't talk to one another. How do I navigate that? So that's COVID VUCA. So we started experiencing all of that. Its effects, I've talked about the other ones, chronic fatigue and all of those things. And then there's the huge aftershocks coming economically and all of these things. I mean, there's articles written about it now. By the end of 2020, 43% of small businesses in the world have closed. 43% of small business in the world has closed now. Our world is changing. The poor, those without access, internet and otherwise, are struggling the most, by far. We think we have it heavy in the first world. Man, we have no idea. No idea what's happening. for us at Tabor, it became a season where we had to recognize that we were in a COVID-induced valley of shadow of death. Psalm 23. Because people were tired, students especially. All these COVID things were happening. But then it became a season where God challenged us to just stand still, rest, don't do anything new, but take stock. Take stock and spend time with me so that this can happen. So that recuperation can start to happen. And it started happening at the beginning of this year. Slowly but surely, we started taking stock and saying, okay, we need to make very sure we tap into God. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to sustain, not going to be able to keep running this race. Because we are also human and we also feel this tiredness. We also, as we go through the valley of shadow of death, we also feel its effects. The difference is, even though you cannot see in the valley as you travel through it, with our hand in God's hands, He guides us through it. So I always talk about this thing in Psalm 23 as God has night vision. You get the idea? We don't. We cannot see it. God says, look, I don't expect you to see it. I just expect you to trust me and keep your hand in mine. Keep holding on. That's it. I'll guide you. I can see. Go, wow, okay, Lord. Okay, that makes sense to me. All these effects are happening. And then God said, you're not supposed to park or camp in the valley of shadow of death. Oh, man. We didn't realize it, but Tabor, I mean, like everybody else, we started dwelling in our misery. Oh, we're tired. Oh, man, another paper to mark. God said, wait a minute, man. You're supposed to travel through this valley with me. Don't park there. Don't camp there. So we had to start to give this message to our staff. And I thought, oh, it's going to be a revolt. You know what? It was a revolt in the right direction. It was, oh, yeah. A reminder, everybody said, wow, that was God speaking to us. Yes, exactly the right time. We go through seasons and times. This is now the time to realize that we have to travel through the valley. Do not bog in the mud of COVID, of the fear of COVID, of the uncertainty of COVID, of the whatever of COVID, even the physical effects of COVID. But tap into God. Keep journeying with God through this. That's the journey that we had to take at Tabor. Look at that last, those last words. Because I want you to lead by example in a world that is hurting more than ever. And so we started asking, Lord, what do you mean with this? I mean, this is the kind of thing that comes out when we pray early in the mornings. At Tabor, we have a prayer meeting every morning at 8:30. We officially start at 9 o'clock, so it's not compulsory, but there's always people praying and have been for the last almost 6 years now that I've been at Tabor. Not one morning did we not pray. So in those prayer meetings, often God speaks to us, and God said, look, I want you to lead by example. Oh, Lord, what does that even mean? You're going to have to help us to understand this. So we started praying specifically into that. And what does it mean to lead by example? How does that thing work? And then God said this. Let me see if I can get this up. Is this working? Something is not working. Oh, there it's coming. God said, it starts with your attitude. It starts with leading out of a different attitude. Okay, well, Lord, you're going to have to explain this a little bit better. So with that, let me introduce you to this whole idea of leading with a different attitude. I believe God is calling Christians, the Christian community, Tabor as a Christian ministry organization is part of it. You are part of it. This church is part of it. God is calling Christians to lead by example in moving through the valley of shadow of death rather than camp there. That's the call that is on us now. And that requires a different attitude. That requires that we approach this whole thing in a different way. So let me ask, first and foremost, what is attitude? I think there's a slide about it, actually. Let's see if this thing is coming up. There it is. Attitude defined. I'll start by saying this. I'm wearing glasses. So attitude really is the way I see things. It's the glasses that I put on. Because how I see things determine how I act. Okay, so attitude is my sight, how I perceive or see things, and then act accordingly. The action is really the attitude, but it's a stance, it's a sight. And everybody wears glasses. We all have attitudes. Are they godly? Are they good? Or are they not? How do they tint what you see? How do they influence your actions or tint your actions? That's the whole idea here. So an attitude is really this, a settled way of thinking or feeling about something. It's my decision. It's settled as in decided, which means it's within my own power to do it. God does not say, okay, stand still so that I can give you your new attitude for today. No, no, no. God says it's your choice. It's my choice. All our choices. So let me give you a few quotes. This is just to get your mind going when he talks about attitude a little bit. And then I'm going to look at what the Bible says about this, what I believe God is calling us to have as attitudes as we travel with him through this valley into what he has for us in the future. And as we lead by example. So those attitudes. When I bring up these next slides, you'll see a number of quotes that's in common use. Before I show them to you, many of these quotes are not necessarily by Christian people. But I believe every one of these quotes have a Christian undertone. What do I mean when I say that? I believe Arthur Holmes actually wrote a book about it. He said, all truth is God's truth. And so you talk about this as universal truth. It's these truths that you find in all kinds of places, not even only in the Christian places, but all over the world. It's these godly truths that God's fingerprints show up all over the place. And these quotes are like that. I believe every one of them represent a truth that God has deposited somewhere in somebody's heart and mind, and that became one of those universal truth principles that speaks to us. So when I bring them up, I'm just going to read it out loud, and then I'm going to stay quiet for 10 or 15 seconds just to let your brain and your mind, you know, mull over it a little bit. If one of those quotes speak to you very strongly, I pray that the Holy Spirit will make you attentive to what specifically he wants you to see that needs to speak to you right now as you take your journey with God through this valley and to lead by example. So let it speak to you, and then we're going to look at what the Bible says about a few of these things. There it is. Zig Ziglar, your attitude and not your aptitude determines your altitude. Wayne Dyer, attitude is everything, so pick a good one. Winston Churchill, attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. John Maxwell, attitudes are nothing more than habits of thought. Ralph Marston, excellence is not a skill, it's an attitude. Earl Nightingale, let's see if this works. Our attitude towards life determines life's attitude towards us. The next one is by Charles Swindoll. Charles Swindoll is a Christian writer, author. Quite amazing guy that had a huge impact on my life with his writings. So this Formula 4 racing team took on one of his sayings about attitude and made it their motto for their racing team in the United States. And you'll see it there. Charles Swindoll. I believe the single most significant decision I can make on a day-to-day basis is my choice of attitude. Alfred Montapert. We cannot choose the things that will happen to us, but we can choose the attitude we will take towards anything that happens. Success or failure depends on your attitude. And therefore, as John Wooden say, make each day your masterpiece. your choices. It's interesting how God works with this thing of choice. The Jews have this proverb that I really like. It says, you must have roots to spread your wings. And it basically talks about, man, are you rooted in God's heart and God's way? And then it goes further. They have a second saying about free will that says, everything is foreseen, but free will is given. Yeah, God is not surprised, but he doesn't take away our free will ever. It always remains my choice. Always remains my choice. Thomas Jefferson said, there's nothing can stop the man. Where is it? There it is. Nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal. Nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude. Lo Holtz, Notre Dame, if you don't know about him. Ability is what you're capable of doing. Motivation determines what you do. Attitude determines how well you do it. Ralph Waldo Emerson. See, there it is. People do not seem to realize that their opinion of the world is also a confession of their own character. Wow. That one eats a little bit. Scott Hamilton. The only disability in life is a bad attitude. Helen Keller, keep your face to the sunshine and you cannot see a shadow. Sunshine, obviously God's light, God's sunshine. This one is unknown, but it's quite amazing. Let's see, there it is. A bad attitude is like a flat tire. You can't go anywhere until you change it. How much clearer can it be? So the challenge is quite clear. There it is. What kind of attitude are we to have so that we can lead by example? What kind of attitude is it that God wants us to have? So when you look at this from God's perspective, what is it that God says about attitude? And I'm going to very quickly look to the Bible with you for a few things as we come to this thing of attitude. Bible and the kind of attitudes that we're supposed to have. So let's look at it. The attitude of right thinking, is it there? It's going to come. There it is. Bible starts here. It says, look, let's start your attitude and this whole thing of how you do life together with God, this whole thing of leading by example as a Christian through this COVID valley of shadow of death. Start with right thinking. It's really a habit of godly thinking. So Philippians says it quite clearly. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything that is good, excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. There's a saying that says this, you become what you behold. If you're constantly looking at bad things, I mean, you even find this in the Bible in Romans 6-8 when Paul has this whole spiel about the law versus the spirit. You know that passage in the Bible? It's quite amazing. And basically what Paul says, he says, look, the law is good because it tells you what to stay away from. He says, but the problem becomes if you keep looking at the law, you become, you know, you're going to gravitate towards those things that you're not supposed to do because that's all you look at. He says, because you become what you behold. It's like when you drive a car, and you look at something next to the road. The next moment, what happens? I start veering in that direction. It's an automatic process. So Paul says, even though the law is good, stop looking at that all the time. Stop looking at what you shouldn't do. I tell you, look in the direction of the Spirit, what God empowers you to do, so that you can veer in that direction. That's great. Because you become what you behold. It's even in the Bible. Well, it's supposed to be in the Bible, yeah. Let's look at this one. Second attitude that God says is, attitude of expectation. This one is quite interesting. I call it the open hand attitude. So an open hand thing is quite interesting. And this is what God says. I want you to have an open hand attitude. A hand that can help others or that can take what God offers. And if you have your hand closed around whatever, It cannot help others, and it cannot take what I have to give. I want to bless you, but you cannot take it because your hand is closed around something. What kinds of somethings are our hands closed around? Stuff like negativity, stuff like fear. I mean, the amount of fear that's still in our world based on COVID stuff. If I hold on to that, my hand is not open. Worry, bad habits, laziness, whatever. You know, the list goes on. And then God says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not for evil." Shalom is the word that is used there, welfare. Not for evil, plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope, to give to you, but you need to be able to take it. So open hand, expectation. That's an attitude, that's a stance. Always expecting what God as loving Father wants to give, wants to empower us with, wants to strengthen us with. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is alive and active in your life. There's an energizing that happens from the inside out. Acts talk about this as dunamis power. Dunamis power is not dynamite. It's not the same idea because dynamite goes off and it explodes in a moment and that's over and done with. No, this is more like a Duracell battery kind of power. You know, it never stops. That's the idea with dunamis power. That's what the Holy Spirit evokes inside of us. Attitude of humility. That thing comes up. There it is. Wait, let's see. There it is. Oh, no, I've missed one. Oh, no, I haven't. There it is. Attitude of joy. We now know from research that joy, laughter, and all of those kids really are good medicine, those things. It really does make a difference in positive directions. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy of the Lord. I mean, it's a joy. Merlin Carruthers, many years ago, wrote this small little book called Prison to Praise. I read it, and it was a very problematic little book to me when I was younger because I couldn't get my head around it initially. And he basically said, man, if you're in tough places and spaces and times in your life and seasons, praise God. I thought, you idiot. And then I said, man, what do I have to lose? Let me try. You know what? It changed my heart and my attitude to, oh, now I'm dumped in this thing too. Well, wait a minute. God is bigger than this. And that changed attitude meant that I engaged this together with God in a very different way. And the outcome was different. Wow. Didn't realize it at that time. It was a problematic little book. Humility. There it is. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will exalt you. An attitude of humility. Now, humility is very different to what we usually think about. Humility, when we think about it, it is, oh, I'm sorry, you guys. Yeah, you first. And sorry that I said that thing. Did I perhaps hurt you? Or say the wrong thing? Was it too confronting? You know, that's the kind of humility we think about. Where we think of ourselves less. That's not the Bible's idea of humility. The Bible's idea of humility, the best definition for that is to fully embrace who God made me to be. Very different. And to be proud of it. Galatians 6:4 actually says this. It says there's a pride that's okay. Have pride in who God made you to be. But then it gives the caveat as well. It says, without comparing with others. That's when pride becomes wrong. Any other pride is okay. We need to be proud of who God made us to be as we step into it. That's humility. The kind of pride that compares with others, that's where it goes wrong. Gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. I like how that works together. It comes from looking back. So if you look back over the last 2 years, maybe even longer, what has God done in your life through this COVID season, through this valley? Can you see how God led your steps? Can you see the things that He opened up? Can you see how He protected you? Can you see opportunities to engage with others in a way that strengthens them, that brings them closer to God happened? Maybe in you, through you? It's an amazing thing. We started praying in those early morning prayer meetings at Tabor. Lord, please use COVID as a means of bringing people back to you as the only source of strength that sustains at a time like this. And you know what? we saw it happen among some of our students in a way that we did not expect. All that, we prayed in the early mornings, and then we started hearing, without having spoken to them, we started hearing students saying these things. They've experienced this. Oh, yeah, COVID was a tough time. I'm praying more now than ever before. I've started rediscovering God. Now that I have time, sit at home. Man, I'm doing a bit more Bible study, that kind of thing. You go, wow, wow. It's happening. Attitude of gratitude. Attitude of faith. There it is. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we cannot see. You know, what is it that we hope for during COVID and during this season? We hope that people will discover God. We live in a broken world. Broken things are going to happen all the time. But we travel through these valleys of shadow of death with God. That changes everything. And I pray that people will more and more discover that. There's a saying about faith. It says, the faith that moves mountains carries a pick and a shovel. Shall I say that again? The faith that moves mountains carries a pick and a shovel. We work with God to make such things happen. I believe you know about the Mishu Day, the call of God, the mission of God. God is on a mission and he invites us to partner with him in the mission that he's busy with. He's always busy with a mission. I believe that mission goes a little bit further. I'm starting to do a bit of research in this area into what I call the missio co-creare. In other words, God calls us to partner with him in creating those realities that he dreams about. Co-create with God. Wow, man, what a privilege. What are you co-creating with God where he's planted you? Are you blooming where he's planted you? Are you spreading a pleasant fragrance into that space, a godly fragrance that changes everybody that inhales it? And then a last one, a go-getter attitude for the sake of the kingdom. Matthew 6:33, that's right there. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This thing, a go-getter attitude for the sake of the kingdom, to seek something is to earnestly look for it with the expectation of finding it. And for me, that spells go-getter attitude. When you engage this world, other people during COVID, even yourself, do it with this positive, progressive go-getter attitude. I'm seeking God's kingdom, and I believe without doubt that God will provide in all my needs along this way, even when I cannot see to travel. My hand is still in his hand. The word seek here, to become a little bit academic, it's a present imperative verb, and it means one is to pursue something and keep on pursuing it without stopping ever. Let me finish this off by saying this, then I'm going to pray with you. I believe our attitude will show up inevitably in what we do and how we do it. People don't want to have to ask what your attitude is. It will show. It will show. And it shows up in how we will be remembered by others. So think for a moment. Put yourself outside of the picture and ask yourself, if other people right now were to remember you, what would they say? So earlier in this year, travel opened up again. I went to the U.S. for a conference, the Council of Christian Colleges and Universities conference. This year it was held in Dallas, Texas. But on the way there, I stopped in L.A., and I spent a few days with one of my mentors, John Reynolds. He's the president of Los Angeles Pacific University, which is the online department, basically, of Azusa Pacific University, which is one of the biggest Christian universities in the world. And so John then took me to Azusa Pacific. Every time I'm there, we go and walk around there, and we go and meet a few people at Azusa Pacific. He's still on the board there. John himself is quite an amazing guy. He's a member of 7 boards, and he's chair of 3 of them right across the world. You know, this kind of guy. He's just been asked by World Vision to become the CEO of World Vision. That's who we're talking about. And he said no, because he said, my call is still here. I need to be here. Anyway, so that John Reynolds, he takes me around the Azusa Pacific, and they have a cafe on Azusa Pacific University's grounds, and it's called Shalom Cafe. I mean, I did my doctorate on Shalom, empowering people towards Shalom, so that word has some connotations for me. You know, it makes my heart go bump in all the right ways. Anyway, so in Shalom Cafe, I discovered this picture. You may not be able to see all that's written there, but it was about John Wallace, a very dear friend of John Reynolds. John Wallace was the president of Azusa Pacific University for quite a number of years. John Reynolds was his second in charge. And then they asked John to start this online part that became a university in its own right over the last 7 years. So John Wallace, this is how he was remembered. And man, it just made me pray and wish right in that moment, Lord, may I be remembered like this. And I want to pray that over you as well. May you be remembered as a Christian and as a Christian community like this, for how you acted and led by example through this COVID valley of shadow of death. People need us. We need one another. And we need God. He said this, John Wallace, humble servant leader, beloved by students and the APU community. Dr. John R. Wallace defined his presidency at Azusa Pacific through his deep commitment to people. Talk about your relationality. Over coffee, like what happened earlier, on hikes, in nature, I do a president's hike every year at Tabor. I learned that from John Wallace. I met him 3 times in my life. He talked about the first meeting I had with him, we talked about his president's hike once a year. He challenged and he stretched, he supported and he developed, he nurtured and he valued all whom God placed on his path. May Shalom Cafe remind you of the potential for sacred encounters in every interaction and in the words John used to close every gathering, big and small. Shalom, go with God. How will you be remembered? For what attitude? It's your choice, my choice. So may God help us each day to choose well. In the name of Jesus. Let me pray with you and for you and over you. Lord, I want to pray over this community and I want to say thank you. Thank you for a community where there is love, where there is acceptance, where there is forgiveness, a community where they can journey together with one another, strengthen one another as they travel through this disruptive time and season that we are in, this COVID VUCA season. And yet, Lord, we should not be surprised because a broken world is the reality that we are in, and you always said so. You never said it was otherwise. You said, but with me, you can travel through this. But with me to strengthen you, it's different. But with me. So hold on to my hand. Help us, Lord, to do that. I specifically pray for Tom, Maria, and I want to say thank you for them. And for the leadership team here. Specifically for them. As leaders of this community, help them, Lord, to lead by example. So that as we follow that example, we can also lead others by example. Thank you that you've called us. That you called us individually as Christians, but also as a Christian community to lead by example with a different attitude, these godly attitude things, so that the world can see and go, what makes you so, how can you do this? And so that we can say, it's God. Do you want to know more? May that happen more and more, Lord. As people engage with us and as we engage with people, may we be able to have these sacred moments of helping them to discover you and helping to draw them closer to you so that they also can experience the incredible relationship with you that changes everything. I pray a blessing over this church in the name of Jesus, a shalom blessing. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. I don't know how to finish it. I think that's about it. Holly, over to you.
Thank you.